tell of my father and his father in the days before the spill, with an endless sky above him and a restless sea below, and every blessing flowing from the Gulf of Mexico.
And it's 11 a.m. on KBOO Portland. Coming up, Grace Eagle Reed, and I believe she has Laura with her today. They are hosting Disability Awareness, a monthly show about issues affecting people with disabilities and their communities. You'll want to stay tuned at 11:30 on the Radio Zine. We speak with City Repair Corps managers Pretty Shaw and Rudy DeCruz about issues of placemaking, gentrification, equity, diversity, and multiculturalism within the sustainability movement, and about the upcoming village building convergence. Thank you, KBOO members, for your great support during our recent membership drive. If you missed it, you can still join. Just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Student Debtors Assembly, Thursday, May 28th, 2 p.m. in the Park Block at Southwest Harrison in Portland. A Debtors Assembly is a public forum to talk about debt, to dispel stigmas, myths, and taboos about debt, to learn about debt, and to organize to change the state of debt in our lives. There will be presentations from organizers, academics, debtors, artists, and musicians, and there will be opportunities for everyone to share openly about their debt and how it affects their lives. Again, that's the Student Debtors Assembly, Thursday, May 28th at 2 p.m. on the PSU Park Block near Southwest Harrison. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage on the community event.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Eye Care, a Southeast Portland optometrist providing eye exams, contact lenses, and medical eye care, as well as eyewear from independent designers. Portland Eye Care is located at 41st and Southeast Division Street in Portland and online at eyepdx.com.
And this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, From Our Hands to Yours, celebrating 42 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday through Christmas Eve. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Memorial Day today. A love shout out to all who are celebrating the process of honoring anyone that has died as a result of the wars and the freedom and the peace process that's to come about all this. Anyway, so yeah, I've got a lot of this is Grace Eagle Reed, and I am Disability Awareness, and I have Laura Sandow at the mic with me again.
Greetings.
Thank you. I wouldn't be here without Laura. I have some announcements. So I thought I'd start with some announcements that you may be interested in. So we have the first announcement is Disability Rights Oregon for immediate release, it says. So I thought I would do that. This is a report finds Oregon prisoners with several mental illnesses are routinely tasered, pepper sprayed, isolated, and denied access to adequate mental health care. This is also something that I suppose Prison Pipeline is interested in, but this is about disability, the disability rights of prisoners with severe mental illnesses. Disability Rights Oregon investigates conditions at an Oregon prison unit that houses prisoners with serious mental illness. A report issued today, that was May the 4th, that this is definitely going on. And there is a place that you can go to get the report, and that is Oregon, in other words, all one word, .org, WP, content, etc. But if you go to, in fact, look up Disability Rights Oregon, and you'll also be taken to that site. And the what was interesting about this was Disability Rights Oregon released the investigation of from the Behavioral Health Unit, Oregon State Penitentiary, the report Behind the 11th Door. That, by the way, is a project called that is ongoing that you might want to get behind the 11th Door movement. Documents an environment of violence, isolation, medical neglect that is causing ongoing serious harm to prisoners with the most profound mental illnesses. What is it with we humans and our violence? Really? So you take a mentally ill person, you put them in a hospital, and then you abuse them. Thank you very much. Stop already. We have to stop this stuff. And this is one of the ways we can do that. This stuff comes across my table, and I go, seriously? I even have to get on the air and talk about this stuff? Excessive and unnecessary confinement. Oh, well, anyway, et cetera, et cetera. Horrible, horrible stuff. Seriously horrible stuff. Anyway, Executive Director Bob Joondep, I hope, huh? has been working with us. Officials from the Oregon Department of Corrections, please get in touch with them and let them know it's not okay. And so Behind the 11th Door, and so www.droregon, all one word, .org to get more information and to get involved. There is also a phone number, 503-243-2081. I repeat, 503-243-2081, if you want to get involved with that. Okay, next announcement. This is happy stuff. Scott Campbell was appointed to the Northwest Association for Blind Athletes Board of Directors. Handsome gentleman, have his picture here, not that you can see it, but if you go to the site, you will see this distinguished gentleman. This is Billy Henry, founder, executive director, Northwest Association for Blind Athletes in Vancouver, Washington. Local phone there, 1-360-448-7254. Toll free, 1-800-880-9837. If you want to give a shout out to And a congratulations to Scott Campbell, the new appointed Northwest Association Blind Athletes Board of Directors, doing some fabulous work over there for blind athletes. Blind athletes. To be blind and be athletic, it just blows me away anyway. All right, another announcement. And I got, I don't know, Alexis, Laura, if you're out there, not the Laura at the mic here.
Laura, are you
Laura,
out there?
Laura, are you out there? There you go. I got a text from Laura this morning. I probably got it yesterday, but I don't check my text every 5 minutes like everybody. I don't have a smartphone. People, I'm too poor to have a smartphone. But Alexis Hilliard is with AmeriCorps Volunteers, has the Lines for Life Suicide Substance Abuse Prevention Project. And I asked her if she wanted to be on the show today, and she didn't get back to me until later. That's okay, whatever, but we'll do this later. But if you are interested in the Lines for Life Suicide Substance Abuse Prevention Project through the AmeriCorps Volunteers, please get in touch with www.linesforlife, one word, linesforlife.org, and you'll get in touch with those folks and get in touch with their wonderful, very important project, because suicide is a big deal for veterans. Yes?
22 a day.
Oh, boy.
22 veterans a day commit suicide.
That's, yeah, wow. So we need this Lines for Life for sure.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And this is actually kind of a bump up of the one that's been, I mean, there's Lines for Life. Lines for Life has been there forever and ever and ever. I used to work on the other end of Lines for Life as a counselor when I was up in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I was on that end of the mic, or the phone rather. And, you know, it's hard to talk somebody out of suicide when they're in that spot.
Yes, it is.
Can you tell more about what you know about it?
I've used it on the other end. I've been suicidal and had to call suicide hotlines in the past. I'm not in that state anymore, but it was something that I really appreciated having at the time.
Yeah, it's a hard place to be in. I've also been suicidal, and unless you've survived it. We're both survivors of that dark hole that you're in. You get into this dark hole, and you literally cannot hear anybody. You can't see anybody. You can't feel anything. It's a horrible place to be. So to have a miracle, to even have an ounce of energy to reach up and out of that dark hole and say, help, is a miracle unto itself. So the idea, the prevention side of it, is to try to prevent people from getting into that dark hole. And that's a tough job unto itself. That's my whole work, and that's, I know, your work too, Laura. And we do that as artists and as healers and as counselors and whatever. Oh, anyway, more? Do you want to talk a little bit more about any of that? Or?
No, I think it's important on Memorial Day, though, for everybody to know that there are approximately 22, or an average, I should say, of 22 veterans a day that lose their life to suicide. So that's something to think about when you're doing your barbecue or drinking your beer today. Remember, it's not just the start of summer. This is remembering those who have passed for our freedom.
Yeah, and it isn't always on the battlefield.
It isn't always on the battlefield. Nope.
It's after the battlefield.
Yes.
And there was a TV show. I watch the morning, the AM nor morning shows, and, you know, on TV and whatnot. And there was quite a bit of emphasis on a new housing project for female veterans who were literally on the street and homeless and PTSD and so on and so on. And they took an old military. Now, why aren't we? This is what we need to be doing every day. Took an old military complex that was falling apart because they weren't using it anymore, somewhere out in the desert in California. And they turned it into housing for female veterans with children, especially who were PTSD and suicidal and homeless, especially homeless. And they call it the Butterfly Project. And it's so wonderful. Good to get more information on that. But wow, huh?
Yeah, that sounds like a great project.
And we need more of that.
Well, I have a couple of things to mention, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
I'm an artist, as you know. I work a lot with artists in the Portland State University MFA program, Art and Social Practices. And there is an event coming up this week called Assembly. And it'll be a 5-day event with various different presentations. You can find that on the Portland State MFA program website or on my Facebook. There's other places to find it. There are two particular events that are for disability conscious people. One of them is called Temporary, and it is Temporary Tattoo, and it's meant to show that you have an invisible disability. The idea behind the project is to raise awareness, start discussions, and the project is there to be the catalyst. That is from 1 to 2 p.m. on Wednesday. I believe it's on the PSU campus somewhere. Also, there is another presentation at Project Grow, which Grace and I have visited in the past. Project Grow is a wonderful program that has art space for developmentally challenged people. And a friend and teacher of mine, Carmen Papalia, will be giving a presentation there on May 28th at 11:45 to 1:45 called The Gymnasium of Radical Thinking. And what makes Carmen really unique is that he went blind as an older child, and so he has had unique challenges in his life and has overcome them to become one of the strongest socially engaged artists around, and he's done a lot of work with museums on making art accessible to those with disabilities. So his work has been tremendous, and if you can get to that, I'd highly recommend it. If you have any questions about either of these, you can call in and I can give you more information.
And that art studio is fabulous.
It is, absolutely.
It's
Project Grow is amazing.
Project Grow is fabulous. And the art studio is to die for. They were just getting it up and running when we were over there looking at it. So I'm hoping to get over there too. And the PSU Ken, I think it's a Smith Hall in the ballroom or someplace. And I'm going to go to several of those. So I signed up for that. So a lot of neat stuff coming up. Thank you, Laura. And let's see, Sharon McLaughlin at Battleground School District uses evidence-based practices to educate students with autism. She serves 103 students, and I think I had talked about this before on a show, but I wanted to redo this because it's an ongoing situation. But 103 students with autism are being reached through this wonderful project. Contact sanders.rita@battlegroundps.org. sanders.rita@battlegroundps.org. Battleground School District 103 and counting children with autism under Sharon McLaughlin's work. Fantastic. So many people out there doing fabulous stuff. I think we're fabulous. So here is, in fact, I have the book in front of me, and I'm going to have her on next month. Disability Awareness is the fourth Monday of every month. And I'm very grateful for KBOO to open up this space so that I can come over and do this show, because there's a lot of issues around disability and a lot of victories around disability issues. So this is fabulous, and I thank you, KBOO, again for allowing me to come over and do this. So her book is Raising Generation RX, Mothering Kids with Invisible Disabilities in an Age of Inequality. I have not read this book yet, but I just got a copy of it today. But I did get a chance to email her, and we dialogued a bit on her book. And I will have an interview. She's on the East Coast, so I'll have a call-in interview with Linda Bloom about her book. And I believe her editor or somebody's going to come to the mic, possibly. Betsy Steve, I think, is going to be here next on June the 22nd to talk about this book, Raising Generation RX, Mothering Kids with Invisible Disabilities in an Age of Inequality. And this is important stuff. You know, invisible disabilities are very interesting. I know before I was in a walker and a scooter, with MS, I had an invisible disability until the canes and the arm canes and the walkers and the scooters showed up. And it's not easy having an invisible disability. My friend Mehana, who lives out in Hillsboro, has lupus, and she looks just as normal as can be. She's a young woman, lupus, and she suffers horribly with it. And people, you know, we expect each other to perform a certain way when we look a certain way. Laura has you have a invisible disability, if I may.
Yes, I have several.
Congratulations for surviving them.
Thanks, I think.
I know. It's amazing. It's amazing, amazing. So here's what's coming up next show. But so, and then I talked to the KBOO's PM news director, Janka Soderberg, and she handed me a book, 22 Accessible Road Trips, Driving Vacations for Wheelchairs and Wheels and Slow Walkers. And I'm starting to get through that book, but oh my, there are so many places a person with disabilities can go to enjoy themselves. I know I'm one of them. It's like, where do you go when you're, I know I addressed this last show, where do you go when you're in a walker, a wheelchair? You've got to have very special accommodation and stuff like that. And so here's 22 accessible road trips. And I'm not sure, Jenka and I talked a little bit about having maybe coming up with a website on this. So I think we're going to be working on a website to give information about road trip accessibility, vacation accessibility. So we're working on that project as far as I know, and I don't know when that'll be up and running, but we're working on at least the idea of it. So Candy B. Harrington, HARRINGTON, 22 Accessible Road Trips, Driving Vacations for Wheelers and Slow Walkers. And it's a fabulous contribution to we who are handicapped. Going to talk about a couple of other projects, but first let's take a little breather break. What's up with you? Other than, I mean, I think there's a lot up with you right now, but and Laura just went total stress.
Yeah, I've had a few things on my plate.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But I know, how's your artwork coming, though? Because I know you had traveled to East Coast and you're back, and how's that all coming for you?
Well, the good thing came out of going to the East Coast. First of all, it was a wonderful time, an open engagement. A lot of people who participate in assembly, the art conference that's going on this week at PSU, mm-hmm. Participated in open engagement. A lot of really amazing artists trying to make the community and the world a better place wherever they go, and a lot of these people really live what they do, so it's an amazing experience. I did unfortunately get sick and put in the VA hospital, but that gave us a lead on one of my mysterious illnesses. So
while you were there,
while I was there, I had to leave town to get the right set of eyes on it, I guess.
Now, yeah, can we talk just a little bit? I know I don't put Laura on the spot, actually, although she's at the mic and I'm kind of putting her on the spot right now. But this was from I knew this a little bit ago, but it was just, my goodness, it's amazing how you had to go to the East Coast, get sick, in order for the VA, bless their hearts, there's a VA hospital and there's a VA movement and there's all that, and the housing is starting to happen. I'm certainly not putting anything down, but we need more help. We need more work. We need more. So what happened?
Well, in this case, I think a lot of it is that there's not enough focus on female veterans. Mm. It sounds like I may have a female problem, which was diagnosed by a female nurse practitioner in Pittsburgh. Now, this is a problem I've had for almost 10 years, and nobody has suggested what she had suggested before, and it has given me a real shot at hope for a solution, at least.
Oh my gosh.
So it's just taken that long.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And I appreciate having a new set of eyes. They weren't as busy as the Portland VA, mm-hmm. to be fair. They had more time to focus on me, and it was, you know, different for them when they see a young female come in. It's different than their average clientele. You know, and I was a unique case since they didn't know where I was from and couldn't find me in the system and, you know, all these things. So
you weren't even in the system.
I wasn't even in the system.
And you're a vet.
And I'm a veteran, yes.
From?
I was in Enduring Freedom. I served in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah. For the people that don't know about Laura and her background, yeah. And you have a zine. How about announcing that again?
Well, the zine is something I've utilized a lot in the past. I feel like it's something that represents my view on Guantanamo. I am in disagreement with the existence and continuing existence of Guantanamo. And a lot of my work focuses on Guantanamo resolutions as well as Cuban relations.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, we're starting to, things are shifting slowly but surely from war to peace, if you will, just to put it in that black and white thing, but yeah, wow. Well, I'm glad that they found something finally, and thank God for nurse practitioners. I have good. I'm with Good Sam Clinic, and Good Sam is a good hospital to be with when you have anything going on. But I'm with the clinic, and the nurse practitioners over there are just, they're on it. They are, I just love these people. They get so little pay, so little. Anyway, shout out to all you nurse practitioners. You probably saved Laura's life here, huh?
Hopefully, yes.
All right, let's talk about, this is kind of an announcement time. We've got about 5 minutes, but Negotiating Shadows by Grace Growing Medicine ER. Alcoholism and drug addiction is a worldwide problem for those who can't handle it. And there is a book about that published in Oxford, England. You can go on a site and find that one. There is a project called Spirit Books, and this is an ongoing effort around friendship tables. And the friendship tables are designed to collect people who want to come and be friends, I guess, certainly, who want to come and dialogue about stuff. That there were things you're involved. This is how I met Laura, come to think of it. We had a friendship table. Anyway, I met Laura through some other people, and we talked, and, you know, and I saw the zine, and then she knew I had this show, and, you know, so on, so on. So the friendship tables are ongoing, and we haven't actually set dates, but if you want to know a little bit more about some of these projects where people are gathering and talking about all the stuff we're talking about here, and bringing new things to the table that maybe if it's a disability or awareness subject, we can bring it over to this show. But the power of art, color, form to inspire, to encourage, give hope, give peace, give choice, and more. Spirit Books, images to lift the spirits, coming through Eagles World Studio and the Friendship Table, which is sponsored actually by Universalist Unitarian, Baha'i, and some other folks. And so it's really interesting how that's happening. Anyway, so this has been an announcement show, which is kind of neat. And Laura, again, I really appreciate you coming over and being carting me over here and helping me. And all I know is that together, activist, peaceful activist folk are making a big difference in the world. Just take your little toothpicks out and keep poking at the dark belly of the beast. Get an umbrella, because when that sucker explodes, we're going to get gooey. But at least it will explode and we will have daylight. How's that? What? How's that for an artistic image? I'm actually working on that image. And sometimes you feel like you just have a little toothpick. And that's what you have. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
This is Kathleen Stevenson for KBOO's Radio Zine. With me in the studio are two core managers from City Repair. City Repair is just about to hold their annual Village Building Convergence, and we are going to be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about the work of core managers Priti Shah. Good morning, Priti. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, thanks so much for having us, Kathleen.
And also with us is Riddhi DeCruz. Riddhi, thank you for coming in, too.
My pleasure, Kathleen.
Priti is a master's candidate in natural resource management at OSU. Her areas of interest are urban and rural food justice and reforestation. Riddhi is a master's candidate in applied anthropology at PSU, and she is an intercontinental